Today's daf in the second Shabbat, brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim, is daf Kuf Mem Hey. And we are holding on the bottom of Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beit. And yesterday we just learned about, sometimes yesterday and today are very closely related. We just learned about the halakha, that if you would squeeze maybe some milk or olives directly from the grape or olive or from the udder of the animal into a food container that you're cooking, your quiche, or whatever the case may be, that would be mutter, because the klal is mashke habala ochlin is considered to be ochal. And today we have some questions about that issue. So four lines up from the bottom. Mativ Rami Bar Chama. Zav shecholevet ha'ez ha'chalav tameh. If a zav milks a goat, then the milk that comes out, because it has been moved by the zav as he's pulling on the udder, it's considered to be tameh, because that zav is metameh beheset. Now, according to you, how could it be makabel tuma? Because e amrit mashka bala ochlin is ochalhu b'may it kasher. Now, halacha would be that ochlin is not able to be makabel tuma unless there's a heksher. And in this case, the zav would be metame this ochlin as what? What exactly is going to be makshered makabel tuma? Well, that's Kiri Yom Rabbi Yochanan, but Tipa Meluch Lechet Al Piyadat. We had a famous case of a woman who bends over a tanur, and some milk drips from her breast into the tanur. And the question over there is, how could that milk be Makabel Tuma? Why would it be Tomei Bechol? And over there, Rabbi Yochanan said, look, there's always a little bit of milk, even though milk generally is for eating, not for drinking. No, milk is a food, it's not a drink. But the point is that the little bit of milk that's on the nipple makes it easier for, in the case of a human, for the child to nurse. In the case of an animal, for the farmer to milk, because a dry nipple is painful and there's a lot of friction. So you want a little bit of milk. That milk is liquid. That milk is not an ochre. It's a lubricant. And therefore, just as Rabbi Yochanan said that in the case of a human, the little bit of milk that's on the nipple is considered to be a liquid, and therefore it's machshir, whatever milk as food that comes out of it, to be an ochlin that's going to be roy, to be makabel tuma. So to over here in the case of the goat, the cholav will be tamei, because the zov wants there to be a little bit of liquid on the nipple to be a lubricant. So anami b'tipa meluch lechet apiyadat. Mati ravina. Tamei meit, shesachat zeitim va'anavim. We have a tamei mate, and of course it doesn't necessarily have to be a tamei mate, but anybody, Richie is just trying to show us what a tamei mate would look like. But it doesn't.
Rising.
Oh, great Lord, Richard. It could be any of the tameim that would be metame, hopefully. So if a tamei mate was sochet zeitim va'anavim, and he had exactly a kibetza in the zayat or the anavim that he was going to squeeze, so you have a kibetza mechuvenet. So there, the liquid is going to end up not being makabel tuma, because the liquid is generated by definition after it's come out of an ochlin, which is now not kibetza. You see. Since you need a kibetza to be batami, therefore it won't be makabel tuma, because you don't have a kibetza. Now, that tells you that if you have more than a kibetza, it would be tummy, right? But you said that a mashka habala ochel is ochel. And according to you, now we assume that since it doesn't say it makes a difference how this is being done, it could be done even if it was lotok hakideran, you're using it for your quiche. So then I would ask you, b'mayit kasher, where is the, there's no liquid, there's only ochlin, okay? Where was the hechsher l'kabel tuma? And the answer is obvious. Hu motiv la, he asks the question, and he himself pulls the question apart by simply saying, hu mefarek la, it could be talking about zorchei d'toch ha'kiara. Maybe it's not talking about into your quiche. Rabbi Yirmiyahu, actually, this question of whether mashkin abolatoch ochlin is considered to lose its shame mashkin and become an ochel or not is a machloket tanaim. And here's where I can show you that, says Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Somebody is machalik ba'anavim. So what you do over here is you're baking challah. And to get a shiny finish on your challah, and protect it from burning, meanwhile, because of the exposure to the fire, you put some grape juice, you squeeze grapes over the top of the challah.
Glazing.
That makes like a little glaze. That's machalik. So you put on the squeezed grapes. The challot are not mukshar l'kabel tuma. Well, why not? They have liquid on them. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, they are mukshar l'kabel tuma. The only possible machlokas that I could imagine here is exactly this issue. My law, Barakamithwe, they must be arguing about whether glaze on the challah, because it's being put on an ochlin, loses its shame mashka, because it's mashka that's balatoch ochlin, and therefore it's not mashka l'kabel tuma, or whether it does not lose its shame mashka, and therefore we do see here that there's clearly a machloket tanoi between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. My lab okamithunish. Marzava mashka bala ochal ochal, and therefore it's not makshir. Umarzava lav ochal, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying it's mukshala kapal tuma. Omer of Papa. Now, not necessarily. It may well be that everybody would agree that mashka abala ochal is not considered to be ochli. And some have the opposite gear, says the Gro brings, but in any event, let's make it fit into our sugya. Everybody would agree it's not considered to be ochlin. And the problem over here is that what you want when you squeeze the grapes is you want it basically to be boiled off by the fire, which means you're not going to be using these grapes. That's the point. And therefore, if it is not going to be part of the ochlin, now there's a machloket. It could be Marsov. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, even so, it's a mashke, and it's mashke l'kabel tuma. And the Tanakhama says, no, it's not a mashke, because you don't intend it to actually be there. You just want it to boil away. We know that there is such a machlokas about things that are going to be lost in the end. Because we have a discussion about the din of amifatseah, Bezeitim. Somebody crushes a little bit, puts some pressure on the Zayid. He wants to soften them up a bit. He doesn't want to squeeze them. He just wants them to get them going. But his hands are tummy. And they're biyadayim esuavot. Now the halacha over there is that it's hukshar l'kabel tuma because he's happy for them to leak a little bit, and they taste better when you squeeze them like that. But if the entire effort that he's squeezing them is only to make them absorb salt easier, because if you've got a plump olive, you put it in salt, salt falls right off of it. If you soften up the olive, then if you put it into salt, it'll hold the salt. So if the purpose is only the softam b'melach, lo hukshar. How about if you squeeze it to see how soft it is? Leida imigyu zeitav limsok imlav. All you want to know is whether it is soft enough to actually bring to start harvesting. Then it's definitely lo hukshar because you're not interested at all in getting any liquid out of it. And Rabbi Yehuda says, nonetheless, it is hukshar. So if that's the case, the question over here is that I would assume Bakamifuge Mayasava, since all you're trying to find is what state is the grape, but there's no purpose to the liquid other than to put it under a microscope, so to speak. So it's mashka omid l'ibud. Nonetheless, it's makshir, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So apparently mashku. Umar sabar, if its all purpose is put under a microscope, and then it will be sacrificed to the kind words of the scientists and the monkeys, then if that's the case, it's not considered to be a mashka. Om Rabbuna Bered, Rabbi Yeshua, not necessarily. There may be two separate tanoim of it. I mean, why say everybody's talking about the same thing? I say, Hani tanoi mashka omid le'ibut plege, v'hani tanoi mashka omid le'tzach tzachok ha'miflege. You're right about this. Here we're arguing about whether it's omid le'ibut, but the tanoi that we had before about shining up your chalot, that's not called ibut. I mean, you're not wasting it. It's not being lost. It becomes a glaze. Now, that's a question, whether a glaze is considered to be part of the ochlin or not. And that's the machlok. So even if you hold that mashka, habala ochel is a mashka, that may be where your intent is to consume it as a liquid. But over here, obviously all that's left is a glaze, and that may not be considered to be a case of mashka. Om Rebbe Zeron, Rebbe Chia Bar Asher, Rav, you should know that you can be soaked in Eshkol Shel Anavim into a pot of kish or cholent, but not into a dish. Okay, we already discussed that. And a fish can be squeezed out in order to get some of that fish juice, the tziro, that can be put even into an empty plate, because the fish juice is not juice, it's fish. And therefore, it's ochal and ochal. It's just different parts of the fish, and that's not considered to be an act of disha at all. So that's considered to be earthen and earthen. Now, Rav Dini was sitting, saying this over, and when he said it over, it was in the name of Rav. Amar Rav Chaya Ashi Amar Rav. He said over that, said Abaya, oh man, are you lucky. Whew. You can say it over the name of Rav, in which case you don't have any problems. You know, I told you, Shvei Rav about to be told. Because of that, you don't have any problems that you got to work out. But we learned there's the name of Shmuel, and that created tremendous problems because of contradictions to Shmuel's other Piskei Halachot. So, Anan Mishmei to Shmuel Matzdin Allah, and we've got a problem. Is it true indeed that Shmuel would have said that fish juice is fish, and that Daglet Tziro is Mutra Afilo Latocha Kiara? Does it not say that Kivashim Shesachatan, where you have various pickled things, if it's a pickled tomatoes, you squeeze the tomatoes? So Rav says over there, you're allowed to squeeze the tomatoes to get the juice out so that the tomatoes will taste better on your sandwich and not make everything soaking wet. But you cannot squeeze them out on Shabbos in order to have the pickled tomato juice. I mean, it's potter, it's certainly not a chiyuv katat, but it would be still usur. Now here, fascinatingly, Rashi says that there's no din of mifarek because of the fact that this is not the natural juice of the tomato. Exactly the svar that we spoke about yesterday of the natural juice of the sponge, which the Tosas Reed says. Now all of a sudden we're saying that there'd be no problem. Of course, he was saying it was bimutter lechatchila over there, perhaps. Over here we're saying it was, since it was lo gadol betochan, it's usur because you make them to squeeze 18 vanavim. But it's not really mefarik. Now, obviously, everybody asks on this from the obvious places, because we ask the Tosri too. How about the case of putting in the rag into the barrel tightly, where we said if you did that and you end up squeezing it, you would be chayev. How is that? We certainly don't have a naturally wet rag. So the case over there is it got wet from the contents of the barrel. Now this, there are various approaches to. We spoke about the possibility of there being an alternative chiyuv mitam libun and not mitam mefarik, which runs into the question we're talking about wine. Then there shouldn't be libun because it's not something that you're usually would be malabing and obviously to wash your clothes in wine. But There are alternatives as well. And one of the alternatives is that something which is immersed in the liquid and becomes very much a part of it, and then you can lift it up afterwards and it's all, nothing is dripping even, then maybe over there we wouldn't say this kalal that Rashi is saying. But you can see we've got a lot of work that would need to be done to come out with a consistent approach to all of the sugyas that would allow us to distinguish carefully between cases of mefarik le'isser, mefarik le'chiyav, and heter, where there's no mefarik at all. Just bringing up the complexities here. Now, the shlakot, the idea over there is, if you've got a stew, there also, wow, the veggies become really, really full of juice in the stew. Over there, none of it is considered to be liquid. That is all food, because it becomes one full type of food. So there's shlakot. I don't care whether you're doing it in order for the veggies in the stew to be, for you, more concentrated vegetables and less liquid, or whether you like the liquid and don't want the vegetables, makes no difference to me. It's all the same thing. So it would be mutter, which is great, because this is Rav. Of course, the problem is Shmuel. Shmuel says, I don't care whether we're talking about pickled goods, kvashim, or we're talking about stews, shlakot, legufam, if it's in order to make them more consumable, so you want to get some of that liquid out of the tomato, it's mutter. But for the pickled tomato juice, it may not be chayev, but it's certainly usur. It's potter aval usur. Now that made us a problem, because we had learned that the thing about the fish was said by Shmuel, and that it's mutter lechatchila, and over here he's saying it's usur lechatchila. So we had a real problem. You are lucky because you quoted in the name of Rav, and by quoting in the name of Rav, you get away with murder because Rav is indeed consistent because he said you can squeeze the soup out. or then and you could squeeze the tomato out. So, man, Rivdimi, you got an easy life, said Rivdimi, I swear to God. Elohim Einai Ra'u V'lo Zar. It was my own eyes that saw that it was definitely Rav, you understand? And you guys got it wrong. I heard it directly from Rabbi Yirmiyah Shmueli. Rabbi Yirmiyah heard it directly from Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira heard it directly from Rabbi Chiya Barashi. Rabbi Chiya Barashi heard it directly from Rab. Don't go telling me that I'm the one who's confused. You guys who quoted it from Shmuel, you're the guys who are confused. I can trace every last step back. Now, this is a very important Gemara because it explains an impossible pasuk in which Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, Einechem Haraot, which of course he's talking to an entire generation that wasn't alive at the time of Yetziat Mitzrayim, since everyone had died if they were over 20 years old in the Midbar. And why is he telling them, you yourself saw when nobody saw? Or at least most of the people didn't see. But here he says exactly the same thing, Einai Ra'u V'lo Zar, and then he goes on to explain how I saw. You didn't see nothing. You heard it in like four stages. So what are we talking about over here? So you see that something that you trace directly to those who did see is in your mind the equivalent of seeing. Just like nobody intelligent seriously doubts whether there was a Holocaust. It's only madmen or committed to doubting whether there was a Holocaust. Well, and you look at them as, what, are you crazy? And they say, well, how do you know? You know? I mean, did they really land on the moon? It's more likely to doubt that than it is. I mean, you got to be crazy to doubt that too. But still, you know, the more you could say Einai Ra'u, the clearer it is, the more it relates to you as Einai Ra'u. Gufa. Getting back to our sugya. So now we said, you squeeze out pickles. So Rav says, if it's to make the pickle tastier, then it's mutter even l'chatchila. If you like to drink the pickle juice, it's really mutter, but we answer it because you may come to squeeze other things. It's potrav losa. Shalakot, mashenka, when it comes to a stew, that is all considered to be food. Bein the gufam, bein the mimeyam, it's all mutter. And Shmuel says, well, both cases, echatzev echatzeh, is only mutter if you want to make it more edible, but to drink the juice, it's potrav losa. Remarkably, Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't care what the case is, whether it's kvashim or shlakot, not only is it osur if you want the juice, I mean it's mutter for the gufan, but if you want the juice, ir chayev chatat, l'menem chayev chatat, he doesn't told it's considered to be ochel mitoch ochel. Meitve. So we asked on all of the above. So chatin kvashim b'shabbat, l'tzorek ha-shabbat, aval lo l'motzei shabbat. You're allowed to squeeze pickled items on Shabbat, but only if they are meant to be used on Shabbat, but you cannot use it this way for them to be in better shape by Motzei Shabbat. V'zeitim v'anavim lo yischot. You cannot do that for olives and grapes, and if you did, you'd be chayev chatat. Now, in all circumstances. And now, it does not say over here at all whether there's a difference if it's a gufam or it's for the mashket. It's saying over here you can do it even l'chatchila. So that's weird because nobody was matir l'chatchila. Not Rav, not Shmuel, not Rav Yochanan. So how do we explain this? So it's kashul Rav, kashul Shmuel, kashul Rav Yochanan. Well, everybody is going to be matarits the brighter differently, obviously, to fit into their own shita. Rav matarits atayme, Shmuel matarits atayme, Rav Yochanan matarits atayme. Rav matarits atayme, when it says, sochatim mikvashim b'shabbat v'tzorach shabbat, avalolam atzorach shabbat, it obviously means for you to understand that b'meh devarim amurim, where would we say such a thing? Where the purpose of the squeezing is legufam, avalam meimeim, it may not be chayev, but it's certainly also. Whereas, of course, shlakot, you throw that into, bein legufam, bein lemeyam is mutter, in order to avoid all this complexity, we just sort of said, yeah, it's okay, but not for Motzei Shabbat. The last part, zeitim v'anavim, lo yischot, over there, obviously, imsachtan chayev chatat. Shmuel has to explain it differently, l'taymei, he will say, well, the way to read this is, sochatim pashim b'shabbat, l'tzorach ha-shabbat, and shlakot as well, but both of the above is only if it's to make the thing itself tastier. In neither case, not kvashim and not shlakot, can you do it for the liquid, as opposed to Rav, which said at least the kvashim, the liquid, but you'd be plot Rav alasar, zeitim v'anavim, whoa, there lo yitzchot im sachat chayav chatat. Rabbi Yochanan is betar tzatame, sochdin kvashim atzorcha shabbat, olola matzor shabbat, this is kvashim or shlakot, and in both cases it's only lagufa, not like Shmuel says that it would be potter if you did it l'meimeyam, but l'meimeyam lo yischot, and you'd be chayev. Ve'im sachat, this becomes now his understanding of the last piece, zeitim v'anavim, it becomes the full equivalent of squeezing zeitim v'anavim, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're chayav chatat, and therefore you would even be chayav chatat. So the difference would be, according to Rav, we would have said, b'medvar mamurim, in the case of the shlakot, it would be even mutter in both cases. According to Shmuel, no difference between shlakot and kvashim, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, also no difference, except that according to him, it's a chiyuv of chatas, if it's for the mayim, and according to Shmuel, in both cases, it's potter aval asur. Omer Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Omer Rav, look, let me tell you something, just put it all into shape over here. Dvar Torah, I talk about midioraita, the iser midioraita of the mefarek over here is only drichat, I should say, according to some, zeitim v'anavim bilvad. The only thing that's the Diorita, that is the derech of the malacha, is making oil and making wine. V'chein toni devei menashe dvar Torah, eno chayav ela al drisat drichat zeitim v'anavim bilvad. And one other thing I want you to know is that ein eid mipi eid kasher, where you have a one witness, you talked about einai ra'u v'lo zar, did you? Well, a witness that is reporting from another witness is not kosher, except in one case. A case where we need to tell a woman that her husband was killed overseas. So over there, we were matir because of igun of the isha. We were matir that, and that is a whole sugya. Why we were matir? Because of the chumra, sheikh marmu bisofa, and that she goes out of her way to research it, etc., etc. So we were make it to be makabo eid mi pi eid for edut isha. Iboilu. Well, I gave you a cute remez, a naira uvalozar. But he was putting two sugyas together that just happened to be related a minute ago in the same way. Very strange. Of course, it's one of these multi-leveled organizations of the Gemara. How about aid me be aid in a case where, let us say, Barnea would come along and bring us a bechor with a mum? And he would say, guys, you can trust me. If this bechor has a mum in it, it would never have been Barnea who put that mum in it. I mean, just because I get to keep the bechor and eat it now that it has a mum does not mean that you should suspect that I, Barnea, am hungry enough to put my own mum into a bechor. But the Rabbanan didn't see it that way. They were kosher even Barnea. And because of that, they made you bring testimony that it actually happened by itself by accident. And therefore, just because Barnea was seen in the kitchen and so on, if you have witnesses...
One place he's never seen is the
kitchen. Yeah, of course. If he can bring testimony that he didn't open the fridge, I mean that he didn't put the mum into the bechor, then and only then is he allowed to eat the bechor. But how about if one aid is made that somebody else told him that the mum fell by itself? Is that acceptable? So Rabbani says, no, it's not acceptable. Rabbasi says, it is acceptable. Tainit Rabbani to Rabbasi, now wait a minute. We just had the Tanit Menashe that said there is no case where we will accept hearsay testimony in ABB 8 Kasher unless it's for Edut Isha. So what are you telling me? Or a Bechor. What does Ein Ella mean to you? No, you misunderstood that. It doesn't mean Edut Isha. It means an Edut Sheha Isha Ksherala. Any type of testimony, which is only a Drabona requirement, where we accept whether it's male, female, all, we don't have any of those differences when it comes to this type of testimony. That's what it meant. And it happens to be that a Bechor, even an Isha, is Ksherala. And therefore, I'm saying the same thing would be true by the Bechor. Rav Yemar Asher, Eid mi pi eid lebechor. And Rav Yemar Halacha Lamaisa went ahead and allowed Barnea to eat that bechor. And from then on, they called him Mar Remar. Corley Mar Remar. This is, and I don't want anybody to get mixed up with me, you know, this is Yemar, not Mar Remar. Please remember that this is Rav Yemar. Yemar Shori Buchra. This is that conservative rabbi Yemar who goes around being matir bechoros at a drop of a head. Ve'ochata Lamaisa Halacha Lamaisa. The din is that Eid mi pi eid is kosher lebechor. And he had a right to do that. Getting back to our Mishnah, the last thing we had in our Mishnah was Chalot Dvash. Now, over there we said, we're talking about Chalot Dvash Kshariska. You already had grinded them up, and now Erev Shabbos, now the Yotzer Miatzman. So the Tanakhama says it's Osir, Rebbe Eliezer says it's Mutter. This is similar to the case that we had before about the Mashkin of Perot. Not really similar, because over here the question is whether perhaps if the same thing would happen of Chalot Dvash that were not Merusakin, would you come to squeeze them? To crush them. Obviously, this is one step removed, because by the perot, you could squeeze the same perot, not some other case where it wasn't riskan. So this is already one step beyond. And Rabbi Lezer says, nonetheless, the halacha would be over here, that the chashash, it would be none, and it would be but. Now, when Rav Hoshaya came from Narada, he seems to say exactly the same thing, except he added one more mandiyoma. So he comes along carrying a brayta with him, and this did not seem to be a very heavy brayta at all, because it's almost not hard to carry. It's almost the Mishnah. And the brayta said, Zekim vanafim shriskam me'erev Shabbat v'yatzrum yatzvam asurim v'Rebbe Elazar v'Rebbe Shimon matirim. So yeah, it's the word Rebbe Shimon. Says Rav Yosef, honestly, you need to drag along a brayta just to add another person? So is that it? Gavri Yitera Atalashmin is just coming to tell us one more name? Omer Le'Abaya, no. He's coming to tell us an immense chiddush. Ha! But you didn't notice. Because if you would have read the Mishnah, you know, you could have said that the case over there, this is Zeitim Va'anavim. The case in the Mishnah was Chalot Dvash. Well, what's the difference? I mean, it's the same idea. Do you go from one step to the other step? In other words, you already ground up the Zeitim Va'anavim. Now they're going to continue to drip. So now the question is, would I be cautious that you do the same to other Zeitim Va'anavim? Just the same thing as the Chalot Dvash, right? It's the same case, I think. Says Abaye, it's not the same case. Because if from the Mishnah, the deal is that when you get Dvash out of this Risuk, it is a food. People don't drink Dvash. They eat Dvash. So it's a food. And, oh, come on, you disagree?
Nobody disagrees.
No, it's actually a food. Therefore, Hava Amina, from the Mishnah, I would say, okay, the Mishnah is talking about a case where Mikara Uchlo Basofu. You started out with Dvash that's mixed with wax. Now you're getting Dvash that's not mixed with wax, but basically it's Oakland and Oakland. So over there, Rabbi Lezer says, look, you know, I'm not Machbid. What's the worst going to come? You know, you don't really are going to be over on the Mafarik anyway. So it's not a problem. But when it comes to the case of Zeitim Vanavim, over here, initially, it's Uchalal B'Sof Mashka. Maybe Rabbi Lezer would be Machmir. Therefore, he's bringing along the bride, not to tell you that Rabbi Shimon agrees, but to tell you that even Rabbi Lezer is willing to extend his psak in this case, Kamash Malan. And that's definitely worth carrying around a bride for. Continues the Halakha Mishnah. Kol Shabbat B'Chamin Erev Shabbat, Shorin Oto B'Chamin B'Shabbat. So anything that had been put into hot water Erev Shabbat, you're allowed to soak it in hot water on Shabbat. And this is a very, very strange way of saying things. I mean, here Rashi says that saying that something came into hot water means it was cooked, which of course is not the normal way of saying something is cooked. You say, koshin et bashel. The truth is, we spoke about this whole sugya earlier, back on Avlam Etet. Over there, Rashi indeed said that it's referring not to something that was cooked, but something that was salted and then had been washed off in hot water, which is what the end of the Mishnah clearly is referring to. And if it is referring to cooked, so then it's just what? A statement that ain't bishel achar bishel? I mean, is this the way to tell us ain't bishel achar bishel? And what extent cooking does it mean? Does it mean completely cooked? Is it mitzvah for tevla, as we said earlier? If it's going to cook better, is it better for it? Or is it mitzvah v'ralo? Is it cooked only k'machal ben rusoi, which was a machloket, what that is? Whether the Rambam says it's a half of its normal cooking. Rashi says it's a third of its normal cooking. There are many, many different shitot. We'll talk about halach l'maisa later as to how much b'chamin merav Shabbos means and to how much sholinato b'chamin on Shabbos means. What does it mean, sholinato b'chamin? Kli rishon? Can you put it into the kli that was on the fire? It seems everybody is masking. You can't put it into a kli rishon that is currently on the fire. So why isn't 100% clear? There are those who hold that putting something in a kli rishon that's on the fire, when it's on the fire, you don't say in bishul achar bishul. You only say in bishul achar bishul where something was cooked and is now in hot water, but now it's continuing to actually cook on a fire. Others say the only reason is no real difference. If ain't bishul achar bishul, what's the difference? But the point is that it's near a kimavasho. You look like you're cooking it up on Shabbos. And therefore, we made a gzera not to do it. There's one other ishita who says that the problem is a gzera because of marzir. Marzir, of course, is that we don't allow you to put a pot onto an uncovered fire because of shema yachate. So you may come to poke the fire or adjust the fire. Okay, but as you can see, this is together with kira. These are some of the most. It's interesting. This daf and tomorrow's daf are the some of the sugyas that are most nogea and that are most unclear as far as what the psak halacha is, most machlokasim. All right, but in any event, you are allowed to be shored on Shabbos, but kosher lo b'chametz, if it hasn't been, whatever that means, cooked fully, cooked gemach b'ndrusoy, or a maluach, that is cooked by just pouring hot water over it. So then, the most you could do is make the chinot b'chametz b'shabbat. You can pour hot water over it. What hot water? Hot water from a kli rishon, hot water from a kli sheni. If it's hot water from a kli rishon, of course, there's a big machlok, because we're showing you, is iroi kli rishon, pouring something out of kli rishon, the equivalent of a kli rishon, or is it a step removed from kli rishon? Big machlok. But if it's referring to iroi kli sheni, then the problem is, why is it saying you can only make an iroi of a kli sheni? Because if a kli sheni is not mavasha, you should be able to put it into the kli sheni. So there are some who say that it's just that's a way of saying kli sheni. Meaning there's no difference between being ma'aret from a kli sheni or soaking it in a kli sheni. But others learn again that soaking it is more similar to cooking it up in the first place. We wouldn't even allow you to soak it. All of this we had earlier, the machlokes between Rashi and Tosis, and many of the other Rishonim speak about it there. So anything, whatever this means, medichinat obachamim, from a kli sheni or from a kli rishon, except a maliach hayashan and kuyas hispan. So the first part of the Mishnah, they talk about the... where you might have something like meat, biltong. And biltong, it's not cooked. Lo babakami, nerf Shabbos. And it is edible. It sounds like it's not edible. There's even people who like it. No, biltong isn't salted at all. It's just dried. Actually, there are Rishonim that bring salted, very heavily salted. The Ran brings it very heavily salted. But basically, what's talking about something which is edible as is, either because it's been dried or because it's salted. But it softens it to put it into hot water and that's the reference to the kosher lo nivashel. But it's talking about that you're not being metaking it to make it edible, because as we're going to see, to be metaking something to make it edible is also under any circumstances, even just washing it off with, this is a machlokas, even with tepid water, but certainly with hot water, warm water, you're not allowed to. And that's the maliach hayashan. Those are fish that have been salted, and they're kept for a long time. And then before you eat them, you wash the salt off.
I've done the fish.
You wash the fish off, and that makes them edible. And the kuyas hispanim, was this very small fish, sort of like a herring that we have bismanazin. And the kuyas hispanim, the last thing that you did before eating them was hatachatan, zui gemar malachtai. Just wash them off in hot water, and that made them suitable for eating. And that means that's the gemar malach. We'll see that could be virchi of chatat if you would do that. That also is a big machlokas about herring. Because herring, there's some taina that kuyas hispanim is the equivalent of herring. Others say herring people can eat without doing anything to them. You eat it even raw. Or certainly you could put herring into cold water. And over here it's only saying something that to wash it off the chamin. But anyway, I mean, even the Mishnah Berurah brings it. It's kedai to be machris instead of those who say that. The Taz says that herring, not to wash it off. Okay, I mean, that's not the way that we eat herring anyway normally. You don't take it out of deep salt and wash it. It's already in a sauce. Anyway, could go in mind. So what exactly are we referring to when we're talking about something that you would want to soak in hot water, but it's already been fully cooked? And that's the way Rashi learns it. Those who say that like the Rashba who says that the issue over here is that it was only cooked gemach b'ndrusoy, understands that kigon mai doesn't mean the issue of how well was it cooked initially, but how much do you want to be shared in water, and what type of tikkun is it to be shared in water? And that's what it's saying. I'm Rav Safra, like Rav Abba's chicken. Now, when Rav Abba made chicken, he was unable to eat the chicken normally, and he needed to almost liquefy it, and that he did l'refua. So he would let the chicken soak for days. And so even though that's a tikkun for him, but that it was cooked from before. Again, machlokes how fully cooked. It was cooked from before. Pashtus is like Rashi, it was totally cooked. And even though you're softening it up, now by putting it into hot water and leaving it there on Shabbos, nonetheless, it's mutter, because that's not considered to be bishul of any kind. The Omer of Safra, Rav Safra, who lived in Bava, he said, I got to tell you once, I once went there to Israel on a trip, and I came to Rav Abba's house, and he gave me some of this stuff. Oh my God, nauseating. I ate a little bit of it. If he hadn't brought me out some really good wine awfully fast, and you load Rav Abba Ashken Chamra Bar Tlata Tarfet, but it's already 3 year old or three times that they had taken it out, I would have puked on the spot. I can tell you, it was awful. And Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael, he used to just spit every time they mentioned Kutach HaBavli. It was so nauseating to him. Now, Kutach HaBavli, of course, was the dish in Bavel. That was what they always would put on their bread. It was the dip. It was like hummus this year. That was Kutach HaBavli, which was made out of milk that had been sitting around until it actually spoiled, and bread that was covered with penicillin already. They would mix this stuff together, you know, and that's what they would dip into. You would just say that word in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Rabbi Yosef took great offense to that, because Rabbi Yosef was a real patriot of Bavel, and he said, well, these guys in Eretz Yisrael think that they know, you know, what's good. I can tell you, if he wants to spit at the mention of Kutach HaBavli, we could spit at Rav Abba's nauseating chicken, all right? So Lira Kanan, we turn the gold to the Rav Abba, not to mention the fact that there's plenty of intelligent people in Eretz Yisrael who love Kutach HaBavli. As a matter of fact, Rav Gaza said that he once came to Eretz Yisrael, and he made them some Kutach HaBavli. So Zim Bechotik Loit Lahotam Avadit Kutach HaBavli, everybody wanted a little bit, okay? So Shalom Minei Ko Brichei Ma'arava, the Brichei Ma'arava, the people that are learning, they're weak and they're not completely well. Everybody needed some. It was so exciting. So don't give me this stuff that it's so nauseating, okay? Anyway, getting back to our Siddur. Ko Shalom Baba Chamin. And then we said, Kuyas Hispanin is, you know, that's the Gemar Malacha and you can't wash it off. But what if you did? Are we talking about real Bishul or what? So idiach mai, on Rav Yosef, idiach, you'd actually be chayav achatas, because since that's the Gemara Malach, sometimes it would be a makab of patish idea. Rashi says, no, that is bishul. In other words, the closing step to make something edible, utilizing modalities of bishul, pouring water over it, hot water, then that would be its bishul, and you'd be chayav achatas for doing that on Shabbos. Omar my brother Ravina, you could be medayik what Rabbi Yosef said from the Mishnah itself. It says over here, chutz b'meliach yashan kules ha'ispanin. Now it could have stopped right there, but it doesn't stop. It goes on to say, shehad chatan zoig marmalachtam. Why does the Mishnah explain that? I mean, it's obvious that it's in some ways similar to bishul, right? But the point is that it wants you to know, look, this is it for this type of material that is the bishul. So obviously, b'chayav chatan shmamina. Anyway, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba and Rabbi Asi were once sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan had fallen asleep in the middle of giving shiur. You know, he was just being, they were waiting. It happens. So they were waiting for him to wake up. Anyway, they figured, meanwhile, they'll use the time to chat a bit between each other, you know. So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba asked Rabbi Asi, how come the chicken is so good here in Bava? Back at home, they got these scrawny chickens in Eretz Yisrael. So he took offense at that. He said, you think the chickens here are such good chickens? You come out to Aza where they're rich, you know, I'll show you good chickens. So Erech Shemeni Mayim, I can show you better chickens in Eretz Yisrael. Don't give me this Bavel chicken business. He says, but how come holidays here are like so exciting compared to the holidays in Eretz Yisrael? Everybody is miserable. And that, he says, that's because they're so poor. The only time they ever get off and they get to eat anything good and don't have to work is on a holiday. So they really feel the holiday. Of course, in Eretz Yisrael, we have such a high quality of life, you know, you're not going to be able to sense the holiday in December. How come the Tamir HaChamim in Bavel, they always look so fancy, you know? They dress well. In Eretz Yisrael, they're all slobs. That's because the Vishayinim and Eitayra, they're not really Talmid HaChomim. So they have to dress up, they pretend to be Talmid HaChomim. They put on these big, beautiful, you know, long coats, and they have fancy hats, and everybody thinks that they must know something. So, Mipneima of Deko Chavim Mizuamim. How come the Goyim smell? That's because of how they eat. They eat at McDonald's. Believe me, if you ate at McDonald's, you'd smell too. Mipneisho Klinch Katsim Verimashim. So at that point, Rabbi Yochanan, I mean, even subconsciously couldn't take it and woke up. Zitarbu Rabbi Yochanan. And he says to them, listen here, babies, start the kid. You know what the heck you're talking about. How many times have I told you kids, shut your mouth unless you're absolutely sure that you know what you're talking about. So it says in the pasuk, Emor lechokhma achotiyat. Tell Chokhmah, you are my sister. What does that mean? It means if you understand the relationship to your sister, you're going to take her to bed? Yes? No? You know, absolutely, 100%, not allowed to take your sister to bed. Right? So, im boru lecha davaka chotkashi asur lecha. Then open your mouth and say it. And if you're giving me what you think, nobody's interested. So please don't tell me your boich svaras. That seems to me, I don't care what seems to you. Keep your mouth shut. Then if not, Imlav lo tamru. So they thought that he meant that something that they said wasn't accurate. And as a matter of fact, everything that they said was ridiculous. But so they said, okay, so could you tell me like one of them that wasn't right? No, so Lemelon Mar Azim Am. which one isn't good. He says, well, why don't I start at the top? Let's start about the chickens in Buffalo, okay? So you want to know why chicken in Buffalo tastes better? I'll tell you why. Because the chicken in Buffalo is indigenous to Buffalo. It never had to leave Buffalo. They shalom galu. They never, those chickens never went into Golis. And even a chicken that goes into Golis never comes back to itself. Shinema shanan moav min urav. Vishoketu el shimarav. V'lo hurak mikli al kli u'bagola lo halach al kein amat ha'amobo. That's why it still tastes good, you see. That's the point. And how do I know? How come he no longer go? How do I know that the birds in Eretz Yisrael have to go into Galut? The Tani Rabbi Yehuda Omer, 52 shana lo avar ish b'Yehuda. It was 52 years from the time of the Churban, which was 18 years after the original Galut Yehoyakim, which takes from the 70 years of Galut Bavel, it leaves you 52 years. The 52 years of Churban were total. Nobody even walked in Eretz Yehuda. Shenema, al harim esabachi v'nei, v'al noot midbar kina. Then it continues, kinitz to mi bli ish over, lo shamu kol mikne, there were no even animals. You couldn't hear anything. Not miopa shamayim v'abehima. Nadadu halachu. So that means that the gematria. This gematria is just a smacht. I mean, obviously, we figured out the 18 years from the actual number of years that we wrote that this gezero was chal. But l'maisa, the word behima is bigematria chamishim v'shtayim as a remez to these historical events. So there, something that was never allowed to remain at its place and had to reestablish itself. A reestablished species never does as well. So there's something much deeper than the questions of how good the chicken tastes. Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yochanan, you should know that all of the species of wildlife that had ended up becoming extinct in Eretz Yisrael during that time were able to reestablish themselves, except, and this is how our Mishnah relates to this al-Sogya, except for Kuyas Eispan. Kuyas Eispan never made it back into Eretz Yisrael. The reason for that is, the underwater reservoirs, so the aquifers, but it also includes the ways in which water can be forced back through pressure up, or capillary pressure, and ends up coming back and spreading. So various life forms manage to spread in places where you can't imagine. How do they get here? You know, like you have an empty pond and all of a sudden it's full of frogs. You went, well, how the heck did they get here? You know, there was nothing here before. So the aquifers and the movement of water under the ground in Bavel ends up bringing eggs and various things all the way to Ein Etim in Eretz Yisrael, which is, of course, the area right outside Yerushalayim, which is the highest spot that the spring, natural springs, come out. And that's where they got the water coming into the Beis HaMikdash from. Now, this particular Kuyas Eispanim has a spine that is almost cartilage. It's not really bone. It's a very, very small fish. It never hardens. So I given the low sharish shidre, the vertebrae, are not really strong. It does not have the energy to make its way up to Enitam. So it never made it back. Well, much so, it never made it back to Eretz Yisrael. Now, as far as your other question was concerned, you're telling me silly answers. You want to know the real answer, the deeper answer. The deeper answer is because there was no klola that the Nevi'im gave over to Bavel, and there was terrible klolas in Eretz Yisrael. So Hoshea said, "Vishbati kol misosah chagah chadshah v'shabbatav v'chol mo'adah." Kadosh Baruch Hu was gazing on Eretz Yisrael that the joy of the masos of the chagim and the Rosh Chodesh and the Shabbat will end, and that was a curse that we never got out of. It still is one of the korban, and as Yeshayahu said, "Chotchechem u'mo'adechem sanan avshi." I hate your yomim tevim. Are you on Laila Torah? It's nothing but a bunch of bother for me. In what sense bother? Am I on Laila Torah? Omer Abulazer, because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is, you know, it's bad enough that these jerks spend the whole year being chayte. Okay, but then we make a big holiday. And what's the purpose of all of the holidays? That's the Zman of the Din. So the Din on the Mayim, the Din on the Tvua, the Din. So now we have a holiday, so now I got to figure out how to screw them. Now why don't you just forget about them? They're driving me crazy, and then I'm forced to respond with these karbonas and so on. Okay, now what's the gezerah going to be? You know, so it's a big tircha. I'd rather forget about the whole thing. So therefore, in Bavel, where nothing matters anyway, everything is happy. And Eretz Yisrael, where things matter, nothing is happy. Omer Belazer, okay, yeah. Omer Yitzchak, sorry. Ein lecha kol regel v'regel. You know, just in terms of my own personal experience, there has never been a single yontav where we didn't have some kind of tzoras from the Romans where Bolesheth would invade Tzipori, and we have to deal with the army in Tzipori in the middle of Pesach, middle of Sukkot. It's just, you never have a moment of quiet. Says Rabbi Chanina, oh, I can tell you from Tveria, there hasn't been a single yontif where we didn't get something. Either it was the IRS, or it was the FDA, or it was the ETA, but somebody always comes. Either the Agmon, or the Compton, or the Baal Zemora, some government agency is there to play games, and it's always on yontif. And as far as your next question was, because every last thing that you said was idiotic, but as far as the next question that you said, how come in Bavel they dress so well? I'll tell you why. It's because they're inan b'nei mekomam. They don't feel that they belong. When a person feels he doesn't belong, he needs to make an impression. And that's it's a saying. The Amri Inche people say, you know, in my hometown, I go by my name. And that's how people know me. So, Vimata Shemai, my name is what does it. But when I'm out of my town, then it's this boss, the Hugo Boss suit. That's what does it. It has nothing to do with what you really are. So over there, it's Tutboy. A riot. Rashi understands that this piece is a riot to Rabbi Yochanan. And that the Pasuk in Yeshayahu Habaim, Yashresh Yaakov, which he understands to be a reference to the children of Yaakov that had to come to other places like Bavel, they took root there through making tzitzim ufrachim, which was putting on pretty clothes for the Torah. So it's not because they're not B'nai Torah, like Rav Asi had suggested, but it's because they were Ba'im, they were coming to a place that was called Limikoma. Okay, the next question was also wrong. The next thing that you spoke about was, why do Ovdei Kochavim smell? It has nothing to do with eating at McDonald's. It has to do with the fact that they weren't aiming at Har-Sinai. Because the fact is, from the original chet of the Yetz Hadat, we understand that the chet of the Yetz Hadat is essentially a rape of evil, in which the Nachash, so to speak, deposited in humanity zuama, filth. Now that the Yisrael that were on the Mahar Sinai, the relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tikkun of what happened in Gan Eden, removed that filth. But Ovdei Kochavim, who were never aimed at Mahar Sinai, they're stuck with that original filth. So lo paske zu amatan. And because of that, you're sensitive to them and find them nauseating. So then how are you going to explain Gerim? How come Gerim weren't standing in Har Sinai? How come they're not nauseating? Because Afakav the Inu lo havi, maybe they personally weren't there, but Mazlayu havi. We know that basically the future, the destiny, the neshamas were imed on Har Sinai, and because of that, they too were metukan on Har Sinai, and that's why it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was talking at Asher Yeshno Po, Imanu Amidayon Hashem Lakeinu, but Asher Einenu Po, even those who aren't with us today, but they are with us in spirit, so to speak. Now, this idea that Klal Yisrael was only Paska Zua Matan on Har Sinai argues on Rabbi Bar Kana, because Rabbi Bar Kana says the nature of Yisrael, once we resolve him to being B'nai Yisrael through Yaakov Avinu, three Dorot, that was the end of Zuhama. So it's Ad Shlosha Dorot Lo Paska Zuhama Me'avotenu, and the proof is that Avram still had a kid like Ishmael, and boy, did they stink. Yitzchak was holid at Yaakov, but Yaakov was holid Shem Esrei Shvatim Shelo Ayavim Shum Dofi. This is Zuhama, by the way, we're showing it's not just the smell, but that it's a sense of grotesquerie in shapes and in just the whole. They just don't. You take a look at the Palestinians; they're like that. They strike as being grotesque. So this is the Lopas Kazuamatam.